You're back.
Yep. For how long? Who knows?
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, let's just get started.
Okay.
Okay. So, this is America's Sweethearts, where we celebrate women in film through their catalog of movies by genre.
Do you want to start that again? America's Sweethearts.
Well, I'm just not sure if it should be America's Sweetheart or America's Sweethearts.
I think it should be America's Sweethearts.
Okay.
I don't know. What do you think? Are you just torn?
A little, yeah. Because we have the sibilance of America's Sweethearts.
Yeah. America's Sweethearts podcasts. By sisters.
By...
The sisters podcasts about America's Sweethearts. Okay.
The singing sisters of America's Sweethearts.
Singing sisters.
Singings.
Okay, no, for real.
Okay. Yeah.
What do you want to go with? We can change it every time for all I care.
Yeah, whatever.
So whatever you go with, I'll go with this time.
Okay.
So are we starting?
Yes, we can start.
Okay.
This is America's Sweetheart.
Sorry,
where we celebrate.
You paused after this, so I thought you wanted me to start. I thought we were going back and forth. Like, this is America's Sweetheart. Okay, sorry. Let's start again. Third time's the charm. And...
This is America's Sweethearts, where we celebrate women in film through their catalog of movies by genre. We plan on having about 4 or 5 episodes per actor, and we're now focusing on...
Julia Roberts!
I am Bailey.
And I am Chaney.
And we're sisters.
Sisters.
So how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm awake.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're both awake.
Yeah, that's all I can give to the day. I am awake.
Mm-hmm. And I'm having internet problems.
Yes, so if we have to pause, please forgive us.
All right, so I drew this one, and the category is fantasy. So the last time we talked about Erin Brockovich, which... you know, it is probably one of the highest points in Julia Roberts' career.
Yes.
I mean, it's definitely a significant one.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually going to be talking about, if there is one, possibly one of the lowest in her career. Although, let me clarify, that's not from the point of view of entertainment, because I think this movie is great.
It is great. It's playing right now in the background. So I can look up, if I get lost on things to talk about, I can just look up and say, oh, this scene.
Or if you just forget where you are.
Yeah, that too.
So just to clarify, we're going to be talking about Steven Spielberg's Hook. Now, I wasn't really looking forward to researching this one because I had researched it already for Memory Static. And there aren't a lot of fantasy or sci-fi movies that Julie Roberts has done. So the choices were very limited. It was like this or what is that other movie called?
Flatliners.
Yeah.
Which is, I wouldn't even know whether that would be fully fantasy or if that's a thriller / horror or maybe it is fantasy. I don't know. It's an interesting movie.
I would call it sci-fi maybe,
yeah,
or sci-fi fantasy.
Yeah.
But I had already researched this for Memory Static, and so I wasn't really looking forward to doing it. But I realized that when you're concentrating on one person, you end up finding much better sources than when you're researching a movie in general. So I've learned some new things, and I found some better sources. But all the same, if anyone out there is interested in listening to more about the general movie, you can go listen to the episode on Hook by Memory Static with Aaron Price as the guest. So, Chaney, I did my best to limit myself to your 5-point criteria.
Yay! See, Bailey likes to research. I loathe to research. So I figured if we have a 5-point basis of research that we would both...
It's like a compromise.
Yeah, it was a good compromise. She has to bring it down. I have to actually do it. You know, good compromise.
So I guess you can determine whether I have succeeded or failed.
I will. First, I just want to say that you can find Hook on Amazon Prime if you are looking to watch it.
Some of you might still have a VCR and have it on VHS because I remember we had one.
I thought I had it on DVD and I cannot find it, but
maybe it's somewhere.
Maybe. I still have boxes I haven't unpacked, so.
That's true. I mean, I'm guessing it's true. Last time I saw it, your house, it was true.
Yeah, and that's been like 3 years, so. Anyway, enough about me. Back to Hook.
And Julia Roberts. Okay, so Julia Roberts plays Tinkerbell in this movie. And this was 1991 that the movie came out. So we are going back in time from when we talked about Erin Brockovich, which was 2000?
Yes.
Okay, so this is 1991.
I did the research last week. It's already gone.
Okay, well, just for context, by the time that Julia Roberts was signed on to Hook, she had been jettisoned extremely quickly into superstardom. So in 1990, she did Pretty Woman, and then she did Flatliners. In 1991, she did Sleeping with the Enemy, Dying Young, and finally Hook, which is a lot in a short amount of time, just 2 years. When she took on the project of Hook, she was overwhelmed by the dramatic changes to her life that was caused by sudden and intense popularity. And at the same time, her personal life, which was being publicly scrutinized like it was under a microscope or magnifying glass, her personal life was going through a huge emotional upheaval. And a lot of that had to do with her relationship with Kiefer Sutherland. She had met Kiefer Sutherland on the set of Flatliners, which is why I wanted to watch that movie as well. Did you end up watching it?
I had seen it before, many years ago. It was not my favorite. It has really slow moments, really exciting moments too, but a lot of slow moments.
I think that out of the two, Hook is the correct choice.
Oh, absolutely.
After watching Flatliners.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it was kind of boring. Like you said, dull moments, exciting moments, but, you know, people going into the afterlife, I think they could have done something more than helicopter views over mountains. But anyway, so she met Kiefer Sutherland on the set of Flatliners, and after dating for a while, they announced that they were engaged. And in 1991, they were the it most talked about couple. And I was trying to think in today's context, by being in a relationship, if they would have a shipping name.
Coolia. it would be Coolia or Julia. I don't know how to put their names together. Julifer? Kiefer and Julie. I don't know.
Yeah, this is how out of touch I am with this kind of world right now. Because I combined both their first and last names. So I have Julfa Rutherland and Kelia Southerts. I guess that's not as pithy as Julfert.
I like Coolia.
Well, so they were super, super famous, and every detail of their wedding plans were headlines in all of the gossip magazines. So right before production on Hook was to start, this highly publicized wedding was called off. And everybody and their uncle had something to say about it. So when she did start on production, she was only a day in when she fell incredibly ill. Eww. And was hospitalized for 5 days from the flu.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, the paparazzi who hadn't got enough of her and her wedding and everything couldn't help but speculate on why that was, even though, like, there were plenty of people that were saying it was the flu. Mm-hmm. So they started this gossip that she was actually dealing with a heroin problem.
Okay. Bit of a jump there.
Yes, and so I have an example of this from an article published in 1991 by People's Magazine, which I'm sure is mild by comparison to what else was out there at the time. So to set this up, a lot of famous people visited the set of Hook while it was in production because there was a lot of buzz going on about the movie. It was like everybody was talking about. And it was an expensive production. It had an enormous cast of extras and a giant complex set with, I mean, not just the pirate ship, but everything else. And it was about Peter Pan. And people were really excited about, you know, the continuing story of Peter Pan. But People's Magazine couldn't help themselves from inserting this. Quote, or maybe they just wanted to see for themselves whether Julia Roberts, fresh from her almost at the altar split with Kiefer Sutherland last June, was as emaciated and emotionally fragile a Tinkerbell as rumor insisted.
Okay.
Isn't that terrible?
Oh, people are the worst.
Yeah, and so I know this. I found this other article, which was an interview that Julia Roberts did with EW, which apparently, like, it was really difficult to get an interview with her because she hated doing interviews. But like when she's in the limelight like this, she felt like she had to set the record straight, and the only way that she could do that is by talking herself. So this is what she said in response to those rumors. Others said I was losing my job because I had a problem with drugs. And this started, I can only assume, because I was so thin. And it's just absurd, you know? I don't know how anybody who would do drugs could function. I don't, nor have I ever done drugs, and I guess it's boring to be sort of a young actor in Hollywood and not have a drug problem. Well then, I'm boring, and that's cool with me, because I've got clear skin, clean arms, and I'm just thin. Period. The end. Quit picking on me, you know?
You know. I mean, nowadays, and I'm sure it was the same way back then, I mean, you do have the occasional more curvaceous woman in Hollywood. But for the most part, they are thin. So to make fun of her or to target her because of that doesn't make sense to me.
Right. Well, I think, so one, we are much more body positive than we were in the 90s, for sure. And for two, it is kind of one of those situations where, you know, the actresses at the time were not only encouraged to be thin, they had to be. You know, there was so much concentration on their weight. Like weights were published in magazines saying this actress weighs this much and she has this diet, you know. But then on top of that, she is condemned for being too thin. Just like in so many other arenas, women can't win.
Right. It's, what is it? Skinny shaming? Or is
yes.
it thin shaming? Skinny shaming?
It's body shaming either way.
Yeah. It doesn't matter whether it's quote unquote fat shaming or quote unquote skinny shaming. It's still shaming and we shouldn't do it.
No. Especially like, and it's just hearsay. It's just speculation. And their people and their feelings could get hurt.
I mean, look at me last year. I mean, I have an autoimmune disorder, which caused a lot of my weight gain, but I couldn't lose it. And it didn't matter how little I ate. It wouldn't matter until I actually took the things out of my diet that I was allergic to. But you never know what someone is going through and you never know what their issues are. And to make fun of that when they may have absolutely no control over it is just ridiculous.
No, I think that this is indicative of how culture at the time was making women feel very self-conscious of themselves, no matter what their situation was in. And here was Julia Roberts, the most famous woman in the world, and they were finding ways to pick at her and bring her down.
Right.
Famous actress in the world, anyway. Okay, so she also says something else in the same interview, which I think is very concise, a very concise description of how the attention was affecting her life. Quote, I feel like I've been so picked on or picked at, you know, that now I have to say something. So I try to be very cautious and specific in what I'm saying, because I don't honestly have anything bad to say about anyone. Except I want to be freed of this imprisonment of photographers outside my house, of people jumping at me in the dark, simply because I'm an every girl. I'm just a girl, and I'm 24 years old, and I just want to have, like, this nice life and be able to run around and laugh and have fun and not sit hunched down with a hat on all the time and my hair down in my face. I want to be able to look up and to see everything instead of always feeling like I have to hide, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I've heard that story from a lot of celebrities that all of a sudden are thrust into stardom and their lives are just picked apart and they have absolutely no privacy.
And very often are they not prepared for it.
Right. And that's, I have a friend that is in the industry and he tells me all the time, he's like, you know, I love what I do. I love acting. I love singing. I have absolutely no interest in being famous because he doesn't want that life. He does not want paparazzi all the time. He doesn't want to have to be prepared for someone to jump out of a bush to take a picture of him or whatever. And I can't imagine that lifestyle either.
Oh, you can be a very successful screen actor and get paid well and have a really good reputation within the industry and not be mega famous and have your life scrutinized in every facet.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a little bit better now, unless you're super duper famous, like Taylor Swift. I feel like she's had to deal with this kind of attention as well. But nowadays, I don't think it's nearly as bad as it used to be.
Well, I think part of that has to do with the internet and how leveling that is of the playing field with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
How it's not as easy to mystify or, you know, exalt these people into these positions of almost like gods, because they seem so untouchable and there are these people on the screen that live these fake lives and then they're are subject to, you know, learn all about and obsess over. There's not really that space between us and them anymore.
Right.
In the same way. I mean, it's obviously that they still live in a completely different life than we do, but there's more accessibility. They can reach out to fans more easily. You know, you can follow someone on Twitter and get their day to day and what they think. You know, it just changes, and you can actually write things on people's Twitter.
Right. Yeah, they're accessible. One thing that I also clocked in that statement, and this has nothing to do with what she said really, the fact that she was 24. Maybe it's because I watched Hook at such a young age. Seeing her, she does not look like a 24-year-old to me. I always thought she was an adult. An adult means like 30. So to think of her as 24, because 24 now, since I'm an adult, 24 is young. 24 is still a baby.
I also think that people just looked older than
Maybe.
We did when we were 24.
Maybe. I mean, you and I both have that round face, so we still kind of look 24. But... But, yeah, looking at her, I'm like, no, that is a full-grown woman. She's, like, 28 at least. No, 24. She's
24.
Baby.
She was so young. And so imagine, like, the fact that she was that young in dealing with all of those things, the end of that relationship, the end of all privacy and everything, and always expecting to be graceful.
Mm-hmm.
And here she is in this movie where she's put in front of a blue screen for almost the entirety of the movie and often suspended in a harness for hours while shooting, and was usually the only actor in the room with a crew and a director. So during this time, she gained a reputation of being temperamental to work with, and she was allegedly nicknamed among the crew as Tinker Hell.
Yeesh.
Yeah. And... I definitely don't think that's fair, considering all of those things. I think that anybody would have had a hard time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I highly doubt that she was ungrateful for the opportunity.
Right. Well, I have another quote from her from that same interview, in regards to the crew calling her Tinker Hell. She says, "I never heard it. But I'm a normal person. I mean, if I sit in my trailer for 6 hours doing nothing, I'm going to say, what the F is going on? I don't think it's an outrageous question. I don't think that's temperamental either. So I don't know what to tell you." I'm not, like, perfect. Go wait here for 8 hours. Okay, fabulous. You let me know. Can I go get you some coffee? I have normal frustrations like everybody else, but I don't consider myself temperamental.
Well, there you have it.
To me, she comes off in that interview as very straightforward and assertive and, you know, gives herself credit where she feels credit is due. And I think that's really amazing.
Well, the way you read it, I could feel a sense of irritation.
Well, but I mean,
she probably was.
I mean, like, how would you feel if someone asked you, like, to respond? Like, people were calling you Tinker Hell.
Okay.
And saying that you're difficult to work with.
Be like, well, you know, who knows? I'm in a harness all day. Also, she just, in the movie, in the background, she just became the large Tinkerbell. She's so pretty. That dress is amazing.
That was the only scene where she worked with another actor in the same scene.
Yeah. So, to your point, how would you not be a little touchy if you never actually got to act with anybody else in a movie that you're in? It would be really hard.
Yeah, I read that sometimes Dustin Hoffman or Robin Williams came and read lines off camera for her to feed her the lines. But she never worked in the same scene. She was always, like, hanging in front of a blue screen. And that's, like, incredibly isolating.
Yeah, to be in a movie with people that you're not actually in the movie with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have no doubts that she was probably a little isolated and felt a little introverted and needed that time to just kind of deal with that.
Right. And a lot of times introversion is interpreted as full of yourself and stuck up.
Right.
Even though it's not.
Yeah.
It's just that you don't owe everyone around you to perform for them all the time.
Yep.
And I mean, and also, like, think this is like the high point of people telling women to smile all the time. It's like, you're prettier when you smile. I bet she heard that all the time.
Well, I mean, she does have a killer smile. So
she does, but but at the same time, she doesn't have to smile.
No.
Hey, why did you pause it?
Potty break.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Don't go too far. We'll be right back. Enjoying Two Sisters Present America's Sweethearts? Feel free to leave us a review.
Tell us what you love.
And if you must, tell us what you don't love.
I don't love mayonnaise.
I mean about the podcast.
Right.
Contact us through Twitter, Instagram, or email.
Find our handles on our website, www.twosisterspresent.com.
You can also join our Patreon with exclusive content, merch, and access to picking your own movie or artist for us to cover.
What? You can pick the next America Sweetheart?
Sure can. Find out all the info at www.patreon.com/twosisterspresent.
Thank you and goodbye.
Later. All right, I'm back. I'm ready. Let's go.
Before we push play, there's one more thing we need to say.
Ooh, enlighten me.
We need to give a shout out to two very special people who have helped make this podcast possible.
Ooh, I know. Mm-hmm. Do-do-do-do!
Drum roll, if you please. Our logo designer, Angela Panina, and the music from Colin Moore.
Oh, Angela is also an amazing baker, by the way, if you didn't know that, Bailey. Mm-mm. She has made me some gluten-free churro cupcakes to die for. Mm. And if anybody wants to discover just how heavenly these churro cupcakes are,
nice.
You can find Angela at Angelic Confections on Facebook or at Angelic Confections HTX on Instagram. So that's Angelic Confections Houston, Texas, but HTX.
Churro cupcakes sound amazing.
Oh, Bailey, you don't even know. I could live in that icing. It's so good.
You can also find more of Cullen's music on Spotify. He recently released his first plaid tuxedo album, Soaring Through the Wind.
I listen to it almost daily. Hashtag no regrets.
Anyway, you guys are awesome. Ready?
Oh, super ready.
3, 2, 1, go.
Well, so the only other thing that I have is that she says that it was a good experience working on Hook.
Well, good.
But I think that it must have been a difficult time, and she didn't work again for 2 years until she did The Pelican Brief.
Also a good movie.
I think she probably needed some time
to
just center.
Not just because of her experience in this movie, but also to recover from a major breakup. Yeah. I don't think she really had that opportunity to take personal time before she got into this movie. So,
right. And even if you're in a new relationship, you need time to process the one you'd gotten out of, especially if you're about to, you were about to marry that person. Yep. Are you okay?
I'm okay. I've said yep a lot, so I just decided to not.
Okay, well, I did have one more fact, but it's not about Julia Roberts.
Okay.
But it's just something I found that I didn't find when I was researching for Memory Static, and I thought it was really lovely, and I thought that you would appreciate it too.
Okie dokie.
Apparently, it was shot on the same soundstage as Wizard of Oz.
Hmm.
And Hook was the closest production to Wizard of Oz to shoot on that soundstage since then. And the cast claimed that it was that the magical energy of Wizard of Oz gave power to the production and everyone could feel it. And even Lorna Luft, I don't know how to pronounce it, but Judy Garland's daughter visited the soundstage during the production of Hook and it moved her to tears.
Aww.
And I just thought that was really special.
Oh, that makes me want to cry. That's really,
I know.
Really beautiful. Oh. Yeah, this movie is just magical. I mean, when I was watching it yesterday, there's not really another movie like it that just encompasses all the things that this one does, and the adventure, the magic, just the creativity, the imagination of it is so spectacular, and there hasn't been anything that really touches it as far as I'm concerned.
So this movie, when it came out, it got a lot of mixed reviews, and Steven Spielberg himself, it's his least favorite of his movies, and I just don't really get it. I love this movie, and like a lot of what people have said, like that they think it drags, and they think that there's too much time spent on the exposition. But I personally love exposition, and I think it's done.
Well, I mean, like, he doesn't learn how to fly again until the last 30 minutes of the movie, right before they go into the fight. So, yeah, there's a whole movie leading up to it where he doesn't know who he is. So I see that, but everything leading up to that point is just so good.
I agree.
There's this moment where they're tucking the children into bed, and the little girl has a flower, and she goes, "Toodles made it for me. It smells good." And he goes, "It's just paper, honey." And I was like,
"Oh, it's just so heartbreaking."
Yeah, I was like,
"Why do you have to be such an asshole?"
Like, just taking all of the imagination that a child has and just like swatting it away. And it's just little things like that throughout this whole movie that build these characters into such fully developed and real characters. So I don't mind all the exposition leading up to only 30 minutes of him knowing who he is, because we get to know them.
Yeah, and it's to really, really show that Peter Banning is the antithesis of Peter Pan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has come so far that he's the exact opposite. He doesn't believe in anything. Everything is strictly business.
Well, and I think they need to take that time, too, to really make this world believable as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so, so cool. I mean, the flowers sneeze. I love it. It's so great.
And they give Maggie Smith a lot of time to
yes.
pretend to be an old lady.
And can we talk about that for a second? I would like to cover Maggie Smith at some point, because that woman is also incredible.
Absolutely. I am open to that.
But we can't do this film because, you know, we've already done it. But yes, she's amazing in this.
You know, I really appreciate that she was Granny Wendy in this, because, you know, I fully believed that she was Grandma.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that that she is still with us today because she was only 50-something when she shot this.
And she looks full-on 86.
Yeah. Makeup and really good acting.
There's another woman in this movie as well that I would like to cover at some point. But you wouldn't know that she was in this movie unless you saw the credits.
Are you talking about not the boo box?
No!
Not the boo!
No! Yes. I am talking about the pirate that is Glenn Close.
Yes. Only by watching closely can you figure out that
it is Glenn Close. She disguises her voice. I mean, the makeup is impeccable. You would not know that that was a woman, let alone a woman that we would all recognize if we actually saw her face. So, yeah, it's great.
Right. But Julia Roberts is Tinkerbell.
Yes.
What are your takes?
I think she's feisty. She's energetic. I was never really a huge fan of Tinkerbell in, like, the Disney Peter Pan. She always seemed a little, what is the word?
Jealous?
Yeah, just not very nice. Not very nice. And this Tinkerbell that Julia portrays is always looking out for Peter. She really, truly loves him. And it wants the best for him and his kids. And that shows throughout this performance. It's not just jealous, mean Tinkerbell.
Right. Yeah, no, she's matured since Peter Pan. I think maybe him leaving has forced her to grow up a little bit.
Oh, I kind of like that. She had to grow up in Neverland because the boy who would never grow up left.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I do like how he calls her Tinkerbug.
You firefly from hell.
The firefly from hell. I'm not a huge fan of that pixie cut, which I like that as a pixie cut for a pixie, but it's not my favorite look for her. But when she puts on that dress and suddenly her hair grows a little longer, that's a great look. She's just stunning in that dress.
I think it's also obvious when she does become human-sized, there is a marked difference between the energy she has just as, like, giving reactions, laughing from the corner, and talking to another human in front of their face.
Well, yeah, she's almost in tears in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, yep, yep.
I have something to add. Yep.
What else? What else?
Did you feel like the blue screen was really obvious? Did you feel like it didn't blend in well?
It didn't bother me. I mean, I've seen a lot worse. I've seen a lot better, but it did not bother me.
I don't think that many actors had a lot of experience doing this at this point.
Probably not.
I think maybe, you know, people that were newscasters and weather people probably had a lot of experience with it. You know, but I don't think the average film actor did.
Yeah, like, they're flying right now. He just flew Jack down, and now he's hugging Jack and Maggie. And yeah, you can tell that it's not real, but especially for this time and age, it does not bother me.
Yeah, I think that there are just so many moments of really imaginative things that appeal to your creativity, like the food fight scene is just so good.
But another moment in this movie that really excited the imagination was the mermaid part.
Oh yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many parts in this movie that it's just so good.
I think that the character of Tinkerbell is really important for the whole story. Because first, Peter doesn't know who he is, and she has to be the guide to try to get him to figure out who he is. And then she has to sacrifice her own feelings to make sure that he does what he's meant to do. Mm-hmm. So she has to be, like, first this beacon to remind him who he is, and then this beacon to be the one to make the mature decisions.
Right. Well, and I mean, also, like, at the very beginning, when she first brings him to Neverland, he would not have survived without her. They were going to kill him. And she was like, I mean, first, they were trying to take his shoes, and she convinced him to dress up like a pirate and like to walk with a limp and to drool a little. And she got him to successfully blend in. But then when he was like, you know, kill them all, she was the one that said, give me 3 days. Mm-hmm. So without her, they'd all be dead.
It's true. Yeah, she is the brains behind everything.
Mm-hmm.
Although, like, it's funny, Captain Hook also likes to think of himself as being a great thinker and somewhat of a philosopher. But he's kind of the biggest buffoon.
Oh, yeah. Smee gives him all of his ideas.
Yeah, by accident. I love that line. He's like, I think I had an apostrophe.
Epiphany, Captain. Well, and the whole suicide bit where he's like, don't you dare try to stop me. Don't you dare try to stop me. Stop me, Smee.
What are you doing?
I just said Smee, but yes, Smee.
And Bob Hoskins is the perfect Smee ever.
Oh, he is wonderful. Yes.
I want to watch more movies with Bob Hoskins in it because he is just so good as Smee. He's so good in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's been a really long time, but I guess, like, I will force myself to sit down and watch the Mario movie just because Bob Hoskins is in it.
Now, that is a great movie.
It's funny that they decide to make a video game movie based on a very familiar video game and not make any of the villains look like the characters in the video game.
Nope.
Nope. Like some kind of mutant dinosaurs
with small heads but giant bodies.
Oh, they're so ugly. Yeah, but I'd try watching that movie, even though I know it's considered one of the worst movies ever made.
It's great though.
But Bob Hoskins is in it.
Going back to our movie, which is Hook.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you would like to say before we close out?
Well, it's funny, like, I feel like there are only so many things you can say about Julia Roberts in this movie because Tinkerbell, even though it is an important role, it's not a very big one.
Mm-mm.
And a lot of it is done from this perspective where she's tiny and not really interacting with anybody real. But I think despite what people said at the time, I think she does a very good job of bringing Tinkerbell to life in a way that was different and fresh and new.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Actually, there was something that I wanted to ask you about at the beginning when she first comes in and he says, I don't believe in fairies. And she says that every time someone says they don't believe in fairies, a fairy drops down dead. And then he yells it at her. And then she and falls down the stairs.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that was all an act? Or do you think that if you say you don't believe in fairies, that a fairy actually drops down dead, and the fact that he said it, because he said it twice, so does that mean that the first fairy actually died? And the second time that he says it, what are the chances that it would be her that dropped down dead?
Yeah, I think she used that situation to her advantage.
Just fully manipulated him.
Oh, yeah. Maybe there were some fairies that dropped down dead there, but I think she must have known the arithmetic there, the chances of it actually being her.
Go ahead and say it. My other fairy brethren can fall, but I'm going to use it.
Well, she did tell him not to say it again, and he did. So she's like, well, you know, I can't stop him from saying it, so I might as well use this to my advantage.
Save the other fairies from dying.
Just never say it again, because I'm going to make you think it's me, and I'm going to die right in front of you. Louder, that, Peter! Louder!
That pratfall down the stairs was great.
Oh, it's... Yeah. I think that scene is great. I love that she's in a dollhouse.
Yes! Yeah, the fact that they had to build that set, a gigantic set, for her to do that on, and then it's actually still just a doll... yeah. The amount of work that had to go into this film, building the sets and everything, I can't even imagine.
It is a spectacle, for sure.
Yes.
And I think, like, it's a spectacle in, like, you know, they do not make giant sets like this. It's all computer graphics now.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a full world. It really looks like a full world.
Mm-hmm. They should have just moved all of it into its own theme park.
They really should have. Oh, that would have been amazing. Can you imagine?
Yeah. I'd want to go there every day.
Oh, he's about to say goodbye to all the lost boys. And to hand a certain someone a sword. It's a tender moment.
I said this on the Memory Static episode, but the character that gets it, is his name is Studbutt. And they all knew that he was going to hand the sword off, but they didn't know who he was going to hand it to.
Mm-hmm.
And so the emotions that all of those kids are having, you know, when the sword hilt is hovering over their faces,
mm-hmm.
and then when it finally stops on Thudbutt, his reaction is completely genuine.
Yeah, this one kid licked his lips like, oh, this is going to be mine. It's going to taste so good. Oh, Thudbutt's reaction. Those little dimples he has.
I know, he's so cute.
He's so cute.
He's definitely the best lost boy, except for maybe Rufio.
There are a lot of good ones, though. Tiny ones. Oh, this is such a great movie. Great pick, Bailey. Sorry that it was such a hardship on our actress of the month, our actress of the time, our actress of...
The now.
The now. But I'm glad that she still had a good experience despite all of the paparazzi's comments and the crew's comments and having to work by herself, essentially. I'm glad that it was still a good experience for her. And I'm glad that she stuck with it so that we could have a good experience with this movie.
Yes, because I love her in it.
Yeah.
Good job, Julia Roberts.
Good job, Julia.
Well, is that it?
I think that's it.
Okay. Well, what are we doing next time?
Well, I'm not going to say. It is a thriller, and Bailey already mentioned it. She mentioned it in this episode. So go back and listen to the things that she mentioned, and maybe you can figure it out. Till next time, though, this has been America's Sweethearts. I'm Chaney.
I'm Bailey. I'm Bailey.
Bailey just blew a kiss like y'all could see her.
I didn't pick up on my cue. I was a step ahead.
I mean, it was almost good too. I was so ready. Well, I guess all there is now to say is bye.
Goodbye.
Yay!